Welcome to the Rain in Threes podcast with Alan Ray and Mike O'Connell.
Hello and welcome to the 27th edition of Rain in Threes. I am your host, Mike O'Connell, joined by Nova Hoops legend, Alan Ray. Hey, Ray and I have a very special guest for you guys tonight to talk Mole March Madness, the college basketball play-by-play announcer for CBS Sports, Andrew Catalan. Andrew, you are entering your 10th year of calling the NCAA tournament, man. How does it feel?
Well, first off, guys, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be with you. You guys do a great job, you know, all year round. So it's fun to be with you. And yeah, this is a great month. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The excitement that I think everybody feels, I feel like college basketball really captivates the entire country for the next month. And I can't wait to be a part of it. And I know you guys can't wait to watch. I mean, it's going to just be another, I think, phenomenal run right through the month.
Yes, definitely. Hey, Drew, how do you feel about these over the last couple of years, especially with the NIL coming in? There's a lot of these smaller teams that have been propelling big wins in the tournament. Like, how do you feel about that? And what do you think is the reason for these smaller teams now being more competitive with the bigger teams in the tourney?
Yeah, I think that a lot of it has to do with age. I think that college basketball has become much older now. It's rare to see a freshman starting five like Michigan had when they had the Fab Five. I mean, it's hard to win with youth these days. I mean, last year in the tournament, I had FDU against Purdue. And, you know, obviously won 16, but FDU was an old team. I mean, the Purdue guards last year were younger. I thought that hurt them in that situation. So I feel like with the NIL money, guys are staying around a little bit longer. Have some older players in college basketball, and I think that's kind of changed the landscape a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that Fairleigh Dickinson win that you were lucky enough to call. Georgia State comes to mind when I think about some of the calls that you've had when they beat Baylor as a 14 seed when RJ Hunter hit that three. So just over the course of this last decade, Andrew, do you have any games, any teams, any players in specific that really stick out to you and be like, wow, I can't believe I was there to witness that and call it too?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the two ones, the two games that would come to my mind. I mean, last year with FDU and Purdue, I mean, I think we've seen that story before, right? The underdog hangs around, and then in the second half, you know, the one seed comes out and figures it out. Well, that just never happened last year. I didn't really want to buy into it until maybe the under eight of the second half, and then I'm like, you know what? This might happen. Let's roll with this a little. So, yeah, obviously never forget that. It's only happened twice in NCAA tournament history. And then, yeah, you point out the RJ Hunter shot. I mean, there was so much that went into that. Georgia State was a 14 seed, Baylor the three. RJ Hunter had been kind of quiet. His dad was the head coach. He had tore his leg celebrating the week before. So he's coaching the game on a stool. And then RJ Hunter hit a three to mark an incredible comeback for Georgia State. So yeah, I think, look, those are the types of moments that I think define March Madness, right? The underdog usually is the story. Now, obviously, if your team wins a championship, it's different. But for the casual fan that might not have a rooting interest, and that's me, because I can have a rooting interest, you look for those Cinderella moments, and I've been lucky enough to be at a couple of them.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you there with the Cinderella moments. Like, you can't not overlook those moments in the tournaments. Those are probably some of the best moments when FDU was having a run, when St. Peter's was having a run a couple years ago. Like, it was just it was amazing to watch. And it's hard to not root for those guys, you know what I mean? So I definitely agree with you on that. Let's jump over to the Big East. What games kind of stuck out in your mind this year while you were calling some Big East games?
Yeah, I ended up calling, you know, about a Big East game every week, which is great for me. I love being associated with that conference. I thought it was another great year. I guess the game of the year that I had on my schedule was when St. John's beat Creighton at the Garden, which really kind of kickstart this run for the Red Storm. I mean, that the Garden was rocking that day. I don't think there's anything like Madison Square Garden, whether it's Villanova and all their fans, or UConn, all their fans, or in this case, St. John's with their fans. I mean, when the Garden is rocking, there's not a better building out there. So that was a fun day. And, you know, to me, the Creighton is a very dangerous team. I think you guys know that, and certainly UConn is a deserved Big East champion. But Creighton is dangerous to me. I think they got a little chip on their shoulder with the way things ended last year, losing late to San Diego State in the Elite Eight. They have a tremendous cast that they brought back, and they added Stephen Ashworth, who had a great season for them. But to see St. John's pick them off at the Garden just goes to show me that really anything can happen at this Big East tournament. You can make a case, and I've seen them all. I saw every team this year, except UConn, actually, the one team I didn't see in person this year. But I've seen them, everyone else, and you can make a case for almost everyone to go out there and win it at the Garden. So I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. Villanova, as the sixth seed, will take on DePaul, who unfortunately did not get a Big East win the entirety of the season. But not to completely discount the Blue Demons, but Villanova with the win would then advance to play Marquette. And Marquette right now is a little banged up, no Tyler Kolek. And we'll see what happens, what they do with him in terms of, all right, do we want to rest him and make sure that he's good to go for the NCAA tournament? Do we want to try to get him some action this weekend at the Garden? We'll see. But say that Kolek doesn't play, Villanova then would get the win against DePaul, and then they face Marquette in the quarterfinal. Do you think that with a win there, Villanova would then get over the hump onto the right side of the bubble, or they still would have some work to do?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think Villanova has to have that game to even have the conversation. It's hard to say, and I'm not a bracketologist, but it's hard to say what's going to happen in that conference and that, so Indiana State, that's not good for bubble teams because they can make a case that they should get an at-large now. So, you know, I think the good news if you're a Villanova fan or really for any of these teams that are on the bubble is that if you make a little run, you're going to get in because you're going to probably get quad one wins along your journey in the Big East tournament. And that's what Villanova needs. That's what St. John's needs. That's what Seton Hall needs. That's what Providence needs. So look, the opportunities are going to be there. I just think it's hard to evaluate Marquette. We don't know if Kolek's going to play or not. That's obviously right. A huge question mark. But hey, if Villanova can get that win and move on to the semifinals, and then, you know, I know how the Villanova fans travel, that they're certainly going to be in that conversation on Selection Sunday, and that's what you hope for if you're a Villanova fan.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and definitely don't want our bubble to get burst, but, you know, we definitely have our work cut out for us for sure. And I just wanted to ask you, from all the bubble teams that you – seen this year, St. John's, Seton Hall, Villanova, Providence, like, which team do you think really has the most shot, honestly, to come out of the Big East? You know, I feel like, you know, Villanova, we got some really good wins, and St. John's has some good wins, but I just feel like it's just a close race, man, and it just boggles my mind.
You guys would have a better feel for Justin Moore right now than I would. I had Villanova in the middle of February when they played at Georgetown, and he was still plumping. He wasn't himself, the Justin Moore that I remember from the past. Now, I know that he's playing a little bit better now, but if you tell me that Justin Moore is going to get hot, then I think Villanova is probably one of the better Big East bubble teams. Justin Moore is going to be the way that he played earlier in the year. I think Villanova is probably going to struggle. I think Seton Hall is legit. I think Kadari Richmond is a tremendous player. And you know, St. John's is a scary team right now, especially because they're playing at the Garden. But if you tell me Villanova is going to have a hot Justin Moore, I like their chances.
To be honest, I feel like, and you know, I'm all Villanova, but I feel like Seton Hall might be the most like consistent out of everybody, to be honest.
Richmond is hard to stop, and I saw him a couple of times this year when he just had his way with the defense, no matter who they were playing. If he's in one of those grooves where he's getting what he wants, you're right. They're consistent night in, night out, and that's what makes them tough to beat.
And he's not a three-point shooter, Drew.
No, not at all.
He's not a three-point shooter. He's tough. He's tough.
He is.
And we talked about it a little bit before we hopped on tonight, though, Andrew, and you mentioned – that you were more than excited to be calling all those Big East games throughout the regular season. So what is it that really separates Big East basketball from other conferences around America?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's probably a little bit personal because I grew up watching the Big East. I'm from the New York, New Jersey area. I went to Syracuse, who at the time was in the Big East. So I grew up watching the Big East. So to me, it still means a lot. It still brings me back to those days where, you know, it's a little different now. It's not as physical maybe or as many characters as there used to be in the Big East. But it's still, to me, you know, the teams that I grew up watching and the basketball that I certainly appreciate. And you look at the coaches too, and that's no knock on any other league in America, but you got some amazing coaches in this league. You got the reigning national champs. I think Greg McDermott is a phenomenal coach. Shaka Smart's right up there. You know, Rick Pitino. I mean, the list goes on. And, you know, certainly the pedigree of this conference is on display each and every year. And it's just so much fun for me to be able to call games in this league.
Opening weekend of the tournament is coming up, and you'll be asked to call a whole lot of games just in one day. Like, what does your process look like in order to prepare for these games?
It's a great question because, you know, if I have a game, which I have a routine and a prep that I do for each game. I like to watch each team's previous game. I write out all my notes. I read the newspaper clippings for each city. So I do so much for like a Wednesday game in February. And I can do none of that for the NCAA tournament because they got to learn 8 teams in 48 hours. And you hope that of the 8 teams you got to know that you've maybe seen 2 of them would be amazing. Because then you're prepped, or at least I feel so much better because I've seen the teams already. So it's very awkward to just kind of prep on the fly, but thankfully this is my 10th year doing it, so I've got a process as to how I know I need to get ready to call the games on such a quick turnaround. And that's what makes it fun as well. I mean, you stay up late right after. I don't find out till after the brackets come out. So it's not like I know I'm going to Brooklyn and then I see the teams come in. And it's another hour or two after that when I find out where I'm going. So it's you're working on a deadline. You're working under pressure. But I love doing that. It's a lot of fun.
Seems a little hectic. No,
it's crazy hectic. Eight different teams in one day. That's going to be a lot. But if you had to pick a site for this year's field, where would you want to go?
It's you know, you're going to be like, oh, whatever. But like. Where I've seen the most teams. If that is in Japan.
Oh, so yeah, it doesn't even matter. Right, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. I don't care where I'm going, but if I've seen 3, 4, 5 of the teams, I'll have such a better week of sleep than I would if I haven't seen any of the teams.
Are you, like, taking player personnel notes, like characteristics? Are you doing anything, like, with the coaches? And I know you guys get stats. Are those like fed to you from CBS or do you guys like have a website that you go to get all of that information?
Yeah, we get sent a lot of that information. I have a stats person who sits with me at the game that'll tell me, you know, it's a 10-0 run or, you know, beyond that. You know, the biggest thing for me with my NCAA tournament prep is that the day before, as you know, all 8 teams practice on the arena floor. And during those practices, each coach comes over and spends about 5-10 minutes with our crew. And that's the information that I get at that moment that I know nobody else has. So even though I haven't maybe read every newspaper clipping or haven't watched every single game of that team, at least I have that one-on-one time with a coach where I can work that into the broadcast. And that becomes a big part of what I want to get on the air because I know that it's unique information.
Okay.
Yeah. No, Andrew, you mentioned you're a Syracuse graduate. You grew up watching the Big East. It's got that nostalgic feel when really Big East was running college basketball as a conference. And now Syracuse is being in the ACC. Would you want to see them possibly make a return to the Big East? Would that be good for the Big East and Syracuse? What were your thoughts on your alma mater?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I think that, you know, a lot of us, like, nostalgia that you just talked about and that I spoke about, you know, you were confused as to why they would leave it. But the college sports landscape is so different than when I went to college and even than it was 5 years ago. I mean, everything has changed. You know, look at the Big Ten with now USC and UCLA and Washington and Oregon coming. I mean, sometimes it's hard to follow. And obviously, I think a lot of the reasons this is done is for football. I think that, you know, sometimes the basketball becomes secondary with some of these decisions that are made. So I think it's important to just kind of roll with it because it changes so much that you could be like, all right, this is the way it's going to be. But then maybe in 2 years or 3 years, it changes again. So I think it's important to be flexible. And as long as you got your team, you stick with your team.
Yeah, I can't wait to when they decide to, like, split up conferences, but, like, keep the teams. You know, you could have a football team in the Big 12, but your basketball team is in the Big East. Like, that makes the most sense to me, honestly. I'm not going to lie.
Be interesting to see how they worked out the TV for all that stuff, because obviously that's a big part of it, too.
Yeah,
but who knows what will happen. There's really – I couldn't tell you, you know, what's going to happen in 5-10 years from now.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, I just want to say thank you so much for taking some time to join us. I really hope for your sake that you get sent to Brooklyn again with three teams that you've seen play already this season. So
for real.
That would make things nice and easy for you.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Good to be on with you and enjoy the tournament. I know it's going to be another fun one.
Thank you. Definitely. I appreciate you coming on, and we will enjoy that tournament. And me and OC will have our paper bags ready while we watch Villanova play.
Andrew Catalan, everyone. And now, from one CBS sports expert to another, bracketologist himself, Jerry Brackets, Jerry Palm joins us to discuss a little Big East and the bubble. Jerry, thank you so much for joining Rain in Threes. I am OC, and you got A-Ray right with us.
It's good to be on with you guys. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Jerry? Everything's good. Definitely appreciate you coming on the show with us.
Yeah, it's a busy time, as you might imagine.
The best time. It's the best time.
It is, actually. Yeah. Yeah, March Madness is – you can't beat March Madness.
No, and honestly, the – March Madness, I feel like it's the end of the regular season, and then we get into the conference tournament season, and obviously the big dance is what everyone's hoping to find themselves into, and that is the issue for Villanova and some other Big East bubble teams. So, Jerry, let's get right into it, man. Tell us how it is. What do the Wildcats need to do in the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden to hear their name called on Selection Sunday?
Well, you're not going to like this, but they may actually have to win it. Chris Walker, by the way, is killing me at the Sports Network studios.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. They're 17-14, and that's just not a good enough record. I don't care what your net is, because if that's all you got nothing. But, you know, you can count on one hand with several fingers to spare the number of times a team has gotten in fewer than four games above 500. So that's a precedent that doesn't really work well for Villanova. They also have three quad three losses, which isn't fatal by itself. But when you're barely a 500 team, at least by NCAA tournament standards, that's a problem also. But they're also 12-14 against the top three quadrants. That's also historically one team in 30 years that I've been doing this has gotten in that was two games below 500 against that group of teams. And that was, more than 20 years ago. And that team was 8-10 against that group. So, you know, the problem is there's just not enough wins here. You know, if you're basically a 500 team or just barely above 500, you know, you're not going to make the NCAA tournament as an at-large anyway. So, but Villanova has a chance to pick up a win in the first game. All right, it's DePaul, yeah?
Right.
So, you know, obviously you got to beat DePaul. And then you get Marquette.
Marquette,
right?
Yep.
So, obviously that's a big win if you can get it, you know, but that's a tough game. I mean, but, you know, that gets you to 500 against the top three quadrants if you Oh, wait a minute. It's
DePaul's in the quadrant four.
So you, that there's doesn't even yeah, that doesn't even fix that problem. Oh, I forgot. DePaul is. Right. Oh my gosh, I'm from Chicago, so you know I'm familiar with you know DePaul's history, and it just it like pains me to see them this bad. It's they're the lowest rated team in the net in a major conference by about 100, maybe even more than 100. It's just unbelievable how I don't know how they're going to survive at this level, honestly, in the NIL environment. But that's a problem for another day. So for Villanova, so now you've got two wins. So your overall record is better. You're still below 500 against that group of teams, and you're playing for the Big East title, right?
Yeah.
So, or the semifinals.
Yeah, that would be the semifinal.
Yeah, it'd be the semifinal. Beat
Marquette, that would be the semifinal. Yeah.
So you basically got to get to the final just before your record is good enough to be considered. Now, you're going
to
pick
up what I went to
on
head,
the way
Jerry.
To do that, you know. But, you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but, you know, it's an uphill climb. The good news is you need to stack wins, and you're not in the 4-5 game like St. John's and Seton Hall are. You know, where you're, at least you get a chance to get a win, you know, before you have to play the better teams. You get an easy one. Should be an easy one.
A Q4 win, does that really move the needle, though? Or are you just
saying
it's
based
on the
eye test? It fixes your overall record, which is one of your problems. It doesn't do anything for your quadrant 1-3 record, which is still a problem. So, no, it doesn't move the needle very much, but it's better than losing. So, you know, you just take what you can get. But then you got to go through Marquette, and that's a really good team. I don't know if Kolick is going to be back or not, but that's a pretty good team. And then you have to play Creighton, and that's a pretty good team. And now if you win those two games, now you've got something. But then you have to play UConn, probably. It's asking a lot to win those four games, but that might be what you have to do, because if you don't beat UConn and you think you've done enough, then all of a sudden someone steals a bid, and guess what? Might be yours.
Yeah. Hey, Jerry, I'm seeing a lot of people saying that Villanova wins two games in the end of tournament, DePaul and let's say Marquette. But for me, I feel like they need a little bit more. Going back to what you said about beating Marquette and then possibly the next game, whoever they face, you know, Creighton or whoever. Yep. You know, do you think a win against those two quad one teams, Marquette and a Creighton or whoever it is that they play next, can solidify them a spot in the tournament? We got
gives
some
them a chance.
Yeah.
The only solidify is the championship.
Yeah.
That's life on the bubble. You know, the only sure thing is to win it. Short of that, you know, you beat Marquette and Creighton, that might be enough. But I'm not going to promise that. That's enough.
Probably and, need other people.
And
to
as soon
lose.
As Chris sees this, I am going to hear about it.
Oh, man. No, honestly, Jerry, you're breaking our hearts right now. I'm sure our listeners aren't going to be as thrilled either, but we appreciate the truth, though. That's the bottom line, man.
Yeah, I'm not here to be I'm not here to BS you, you know. I'm here
not at all.
Here to give you what I think. You know, committee might think differently, who knows, but you got to win the games first.
No, they 100%. Definitely do.
Go ahead, and Jerry, is there anything that we like, you know, should be rooting for? In terms of Villanova fans, Big East fans, like, are we rooting for Seton Hall to get that win over St. John's to knock St. John's maybe off the bubble? Like, what are we looking at in
I've
terms
got
of
them as, I've got those two as my last two teams in.
Right.
So the winner's still there. And the loser, maybe not. So, I mean, I guess if you want to root, you know, root against Providence, root against St. John's, root against Seton Hall, the whoever wins that game to lose the next one, but there's places to root otherwise as well, like root for, say, Florida Atlantic to win the American, so South Florida's not in the bracket, or, you know, root for Dayton to win the A-10 so that there's not two teams from that league in the bracket. You know, those are potential bid stealers. And if you can get rid of the bid stealers, that improves your chances. You still have to do your own work.
How many?
Indiana State, too, not helping out.
Yeah, how many teams
do you think? I'm not confident that Indiana State will get in. they just didn't do enough. The worst thing that happened to them this year was getting ranked, because then they took their two worst losses of the season that week. And, you know, without those, I mean, even if they just lost, you know, didn't beat lose to the Illinois State, it was quad four, you know, then we're probably having a different conversation. But really, I don't have a lot of hope for Indiana State. But, yeah, that is a potential bid stealer for you. But I think it's pretty low potential. Actually, the only reason I would give it any hope at all is that the committee took Belmont in 2019 and their resume. It's a similar situation. And their resume wasn't as good as Indiana State's. And Indiana State's isn't really good enough to be in the tournament. But I'm not going to complain if Indiana State gets in.
Okay, fair enough.
OC, man, I just, like, my heart is shot. My heart is shot right now.
You know, the bearer of bad news.
But I mean,
we needed this, Jerry. We needed this.
We knew it would take work, like, for sure. We knew Villanova getting in would take a lot of work. But I mean, those early season losses they had to those Big Five schools really hurt. They really hurt.
There's no question. You take two of those away, then we're having a different conversation.
Exactly.
All right. So that's whole basically season counts. The weakest point on Villanova's resume is those quad three losses. Then there's three of them. But then you said the overall record is just simply not good enough. So that's where a win against DePaul helps. And then you got to get two more quad one wins at least to be in the conversation.
Right. But your record isn't good enough because you didn't take care of business. I don't mean you guys personally, but Villanova's record isn't good enough because they didn't take care of business, you know, in those quad three games. And, you know, that's – so now – you know, now the work is even harder because you didn't do it then.
What about a team like Providence?
They're actually, I have them in worse shape even than Villanova. But Providence, they've got some problems too.
That's interesting.
They're 9-12 against the top three quadrants, so they're actually three games below 500. And they, you know, their strength of schedule isn't quite as good. So they might actually have to win the conference tournament just to get a record that's good enough to be considered.
Even though they got 18 wins right now, 18, 19 wins.
Yeah, but they're 9-12 against the top three quadrants. Yeah. So, they might be, you know, they're 19-12, but their schedule's not as good. So they've got more quad four games, you know, so 9-12 against the top three quadrants. That's not going to get the job done.
That's interesting.
They gotta win, so they got to win four just to get back to 500.
That's interesting. And that Jerry, team like Villanova could lose Big Five games and lose to quad four teams, but have enough good wins to still consider themselves into the tournament towards the end of the year. But a team like Providence with a better record can't.
Yeah, well, strength of schedule matters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we see teams get left out almost every year from major conferences that weren't good enough in the league and didn't do anything outside the league, and now they're kind of screwed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Providence's non-conference strength of schedule is 242. That's not a good number. There are some that are worse, but that's not a good number. Yeah. So, you know, if you take, what is it? They've got 10 quad four games. Now, two of those are DePaul and one is Georgetown, but that's seven non-conference. Yes, more than half your non-conference schedule is quad four games. Well, you know, if you play just slightly better teams, you know, you can still play games at home, but just play slightly better teams at home. And, you know, you might be having a different conversation.
So, Jerry, barring a team that makes a run and wins the Big East tournament outright, to get that automatic qualifying bid. Right now, you have four Big East teams as locks. It's basically UConn, Creighton, Marquette, and then the winner of that Seton Hall St. John's game.
No.
Is that no?
No. It's UConn, Marquette, Creighton. The winner of the Seton Hall St. John's game is not a lock. No. Okay. The loser is in trouble. The winner is not a lock. The only lock for bubble teams, the only lock, is win the conference tournament. There is no lock. Win the conference tournament. That's the lock.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I thought maybe – all right. So right now, Seton Hall, St. John's are the last two teams you have in. But right. A win does not it at least helps your chances, but it doesn't lock you in.
Gives okay. you another chance to do something. Doesn't promise you anything except an opportunity to keep playing.
So it's going to come down to what has always been for Villanova this year. It's going to come down to these guys. And, like, how bad do they want it in the tournament to play and actually try to get in and do their thing? But it's no tough task. And Jerry, you really explaining that. I seen your video before they played Creighton at home, and you were talking about, you know, Villanova getting a win at Creighton, but that loss at Creighton really hurt them. And for me, honestly, I'm kind of 50-50 on if they get in the tournament or not. I was kind of happy with John Rothstein's news about maybe them getting two wins and then getting into the tournament, but it seems like they need more than that.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I'll have to have a word with John, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, the Villanova brand certainly is something, right?
Doesn't mean a thing. The selection process.
Okay. No. All right. So straight to schedule.
I remember I always said if all you got is net ranking, you got nothing. If you got all you got is a brand, you got even less than nothing.
Mm. Okay. All right. So in your
how many times have you seen Indiana in the tournament lately?
And they always got good net rankings. OC.
I mean, there's a brand for you. Indiana. Yeah. You still got to win games.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Here's the thing. The NCAA tournament doesn't need brand names because the event itself is so good. It creates brand names. So, no, they don't care who you are. They don't care about the name on the front of the jersey.
Okay. All right. So, hey, you guys heard it here from our guy, Jerry Brackets. Jerry Palm, thank you so much for giving us some moments of your day. And I know you're a busy man right now, so try to get some sleep and keep getting after it, man. We appreciate all your hard work. It's been fun.
Yeah. Sorry I didn't have better news for you.
Oh, no, that's all right. We definitely appreciate you coming on.
We needed this, Jerry. Get people's mindsets right. Get their expectations in the right place. We don't want to be leading people the wrong way. And we really appreciate your help and kind of spreading that message because sometimes the truth hurts, Jerry, right?
Yes, it does. The truth isn't always nice.
Jerry Palm, everyone. Hey, Ray, Jerry Brackets just came in here and broke our hearts, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I really expected him to kind of be like, oh, you know what's so great about Villanova's resume that a lot of other resumes aren't? He did not hold back at all, man. Our brand name doesn't matter. Our net ranking doesn't matter. The quad three losses, the three of them that we've had, backbreakers. I mean, oh. So we got to basically get in the eyes of Jerry Brackets, Jerry Palm from CBS. He says we got to get to the Big East tournament final to even have a chance at getting in. And that is, it's a tough pill to swallow, Ray, because we really thought that two wins in the Big East tournament would get us in the conversation. Now it looks like it's a tall order to get to that Big East tournament final, Ray, to win three games in the Big East is going to be brutal. Your thoughts?
I kind of agree with Jerry a little bit. Having to win three games sounds a little bit more realistic than winning two games and one of those games being DePaul. And I just want to go back to what I said a couple days ago about Creighton. Like, I just felt like Creighton game was the game that we needed to win. You know, like, forget about Seton Hall. We beat Providence, but for me, it was Creighton. Because if we'd have won this Creighton game, we'd have been in a lot better shape than we are right now. But I appreciate Jerry being real and telling it how it is, you know. And it's just a result of us, you know. We lost to some bad teams early in the year, which right now is really coming back to bite us in the ass.
Yeah.
How you feel, see?
The Penn, Drexel, and St. Joe's losses, A-Ray, the Big Five, they owned us this year. And it was really just so tough because we thought for a while some of the other big wins that we've had. Go back to the non-conference in the battle for Atlantis. You take a look back at that Creighton win on the road, beating Providence on the road. You know, we've had some nice wins along the way, but it does not enough to cover up the blemishes that were against the Big Five, against teams that we usually dominate year in and year out. So it's definitely tough to hear Jerry say that, but you know, it is the reality of things. And for all you guys out there listening, we appreciate you being there for us all season long. You're showing us a lot of love and support, but we also don't want to lie to you. We don't want to hype up the chances of this team finding their way in, finding their themselves name being called on Selection Sunday if we don't have the facts. And Jerry Palm just came in here and he laid him down for us, Ray. A win against DePaul and a win against Marquette isn't going to be able to do it. And the sad part is, Ray, I wanted to ask him, what about if we had done this, if we had done that? Then you get down a whole rabbit hole. You open up a whole can of worms about, what if? That's not what we should be focused on right now, Ray. We should be focused on what we can do. And what we can do is we can make the tournament, but we got to get some wins first. And according to Jerry Palm, that means 3 wins. Probably against DePaul, Marquette, and then Creighton most likely. And if you had to argue in terms of like the path to the final in the Big East this weekend at the Garden, it's not an easy one, but it's certainly doable because Marquette's beaten us twice already, but Tyler Kolek might not be playing. Then Creighton, we showed we can beat them, and if you don't go down 32-8 in the first 12 minutes of the game on Saturday, Ray, we might be talking about a completely different scenario right now. So look, it's bad. It's not great at all. Like we want to be saying, all right, we're preparing for the NCAA tournament. All we got to do is take care of business. We get one win, we're good. No, it's not 2. It's probably 3. And if it's not 3, then we got to win the whole damn thing, which is something that is really tough with a team like UConn in this league. And Ray, I mean, I'm still excited. I'm still fired up. I think we're going to get to see at least the Wildcats play at least 2 more games, if not 3. But don't tell me it's not possible, right? I think we can most certainly go on a nice little run here and find ourselves playing on Saturday.
No, you know me. I'm always going to stay positive and optimistic about the situation. I really just feel like we just got to, it's just a level of focus that just not there. If we could get that level of focus going into this Big East tournament, like when we was in Atlantis, like we need to bring that focus, take it out the water where we left it at in Hawaii. I mean, not Hawaii, the Bahamas, and bring that back to Philly and like use that on the court. Cause like we just, it's just so inconsistent, man. It's just so inconsistent. But yes, I do have the faith that we can get it done. It could take one game, like one game against DePaul, get everybody fired up, get everybody going. But got to take it one game at a time and see how this plays out. But we in a tough position right now, OC. We in a real, real tough position.
Most definitely. Very tough. And I'll go back to something that Andrew Catalan came on our show this evening and said that if Justin Moore is playing well, that this Villanova team can kind of ascend to new heights and play with just about anybody in the country, let alone the Big East. And, you know, that's something that we've seen out of Justin when it comes to big-time moments. He rises to the occasion. You just got to hope he's healthy enough right now. But, hey, Ray, the last time we were in a tournament where we had to play, you know, 3 games in 3 days, what did we do? We won all 3, including wins against Carolina, Texas Tech, and Memphis. So don't tell me it's not possible. Maybe this team likes playing consecutive days like they did in Atlantis, because we'll go with that. We'll go with that mindset that these guys can really put together, you know, 3 or 4 days in a row of great Villanova basketball. And I would not be surprised if all of a sudden we're talking about playing on Friday, playing on Saturday, with a real chance to punch our ticket into the big dance. Because, listen, these guys got to be playing with their backs up against the wall. They have. really, if you think about it, they should have been in that mindset. Kyle Neptune loves saying that about every game being our Super Bowl. You know, the next game is the biggest game kind of mentality. And I don't have a problem with that, but based on the way that we came out and just were not ready to go on Saturday against Creighton, it bothers me a little bit because of the mindset of saying, all right, here we go, guys. This is our Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden you come out and, you know, you don't look ready to go whatsoever. You look like everyone is still hanging out on the bus outside of Wells Fargo Center. So I really believe that the Garden is going to bring out the best in us, but I don't know if that's going to be enough because this is going to be a tough road to get to the final on Saturday. And based on what Jerry Brackett's had to say tonight, it's going to take that trip to the Big East final to really make sure that we're on the right side of the bubble. So a tall task, A. Ray, but I'm really glad we did this and we hashed it out and mapped out what this weekend needs to look like for Villanova to find their way into the promised land that is March Madness.
Yeah. Now we know what they got to do. They know what they got to do. And we just got to see how everything plays out. I just hope Villanova gets this W. And it's not another NIT situation because I'm sure you're going to see people protesting outside of Jake Nevin for sure. if we go back to the NIT, it's going to be some protests going on.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't even want to think about that right now, A-Ray, but you're definitely right. And it's pretty funny just because an hour ago when we were talking to Andrew, he seemed like he was also in the same mindset and saying, hey, you get two more wins, one of them being a big-time quad one win against a team like Marquette, then you're in the conversation and could be, you know, find yourself being, you know, one of those last four teams in playing in Dayton, whatever it may be. But you live to fight another day and you play in the Big Dance. So, Jerry, Andrew, big thanks to them. Both of them do great work for CBS Sports. You'll be hearing from both of them within the next few weeks, and Jerry doing his bracketology updates. Hopefully he has good news when talking about Villanova and the Big East moving forward before Sunday, because, oh man, Andrew certainly is going to have his work cut out for him doing four games in just a matter of hours over the course of one day in the opening weekend of the Big Dance. So, A-Ray, always a pleasure, my friend. Hopefully next time we talk on Rain and Threes, it'll be about some good news because a tall task ahead for the Wildcats this weekend at Madison Square Garden.
That's a fact, OC. And let's get this done, man. Let's get this done so we could get to the tourney and we could have smiles on our face.
Yeah, man. And at that point, then it's like, ooh, we're playing with house money at that point because I will say this, A-Ray, beginning of the year, you said, my one goal and one goal only is to get back to the NCAA tournament. I was a little too cocky, I guess, because I said the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. But I'll go with your goal right now, because if we can somehow sneak in, oh, man, talk about what a sigh of relief everyone would breathe at Villanova, including Kyle Neptune, his staff, Mark Jackson, the AD, Father Peter, you name it. Everybody from the top down would certainly be relieved with a berth in the Big Dance, but a lot of work to be done. We'll see if these Wildcats can do it. I know I'll be there, so hopefully to see any of you Nova Nation guys out there, any of you Big East basketball supporters, followers, fanatics, I will be in the building. A-Ray's got a little too busy of a schedule. He's going to be coaching his son's team, doing his thing, but I know he'll be tuned in as well.
A-Ray is a coach now. I'm a coach, taking up all my time. But it's cool. You know, my son's on the team. He's got some of his players from his high school team. And it's just a good group of guys that really want to learn and really want to play. So, you know, I give them my time to go help them and really teach these guys the game, you know, because I appreciate the feedback that they give to me. So I am officially coaching. So I am, it's going to be on the Adidas circuit. It's going to be Adidas Gold, and the name of the team is ETG Elevate to Greatness. So look out for that. And don't forget, we play on Wednesday at 9:30. We got to get this W.
Yes, sir. It all starts on Wednesday against DePaul. And hey, folks, just know you have ETG to fall back on in terms of teams looking for your support, and you got the New York Nova Knicks as well, A-Ray. So we definitely will have some content to talk about moving forward. But let's hope our guys get it done this weekend in the Big Apple.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, OC, like always. And like you said, man, let's get these boys to get it done.
Yes, sir.
They need to get it done.
Let's get it, man. Well, hey, I am your host, Mike O'Connell, here with Alan Ray. Big thanks to Jerry Palm, Andrew Catalan, our guy on the other side of the glass, Nick McGow, holding it down for us. We appreciate everyone listening. This has been another episode of Rain in Threes, folks. We'll catch you next time.
Peace out.